Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to the Gabby Reece Show, where everything is an experiment.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a solo podcast. I have a lot on my mind. I always do, don't we all? And so I thought I'd sort of bucket out some things and talk about them. I'm going to start with training. I have been recovering. I've had a torn labrum in my hip, and I'm going to be honest with you. I have been doing, my adductors are incredibly weak. So I'm already, you've maybe heard me talk about that I'm just really not that flexible, like literally or figuratively, metaphorically. It's one of my constant dances. It's like, oh, you're so grounded. It's like, yeah, like concrete. So I started incorporating other very small, tedious exercises on the regular basis. And I want to say, after like 2.5 months, it's sometimes hard to believe. And I so sell the message of like, we can heal ourselves and the body is a miracle. But I sometimes have a hard time believing it. And so I can say that I really have been able to start to work a little bit harder. And what I noticed in this is sometimes we get going into doing it a certain way, like, oh, I lift on these days and I like to go outside and do outside activities on these days. And we, even in that, get stuck in our way. And it's kind of interesting, right? Like, oh, this is the way I do it. This is my way, our way. And we are also then that gets in our way. And so I haven't been banging as much iron, which makes me feel like I'm sort of earning it. And you go, oh, am I going to keep my muscle and all this stuff? But in the meantime, I've been healing and it's creating an environment where I can work a lot harder. So I just want to encourage you, if you have some aches and pains, that if you do have some homework, which I'm sure you do, do it and sort of believe in that process, even though it always takes longer. And I do believe as we get older, you start to think, is this it? Like, is this permanent? Is this what I'm going to be living with for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it is? And I just want to say that I believe we can always still make the changes. And I don't mean this in some frouffy way. I just mean that if we can stay malleable in all those ways, I think the body follows. It doesn't mean, of course, we're not surging full of hormones like, you know, 16, 20-year-olds, and of course, but there's so much that we can do if we strategize. You know, it's like staying open-minded and learning and changing. So I just want to encourage you. So I've really ramped that up. And if you don't have homework and you've got something going on, get involved, get some help. Ask somebody, find somebody that you trust that feels good and see how it goes. And if something really happens interesting, I'd love to hear about it. So the next area kind of connected with that is aging. What's always interesting for me about aging is I try not to give it too much, you know, like I try not to hang too much on it. But then there's just things about it that it's kind of the way it is for all of us. Time is moving. Transitions are uncomfortable. You know, life is always changing. And I feel like I'm always trying to find ways to flow with that. I interviewed in a podcast prior to this, probably in the last 4 weeks, Arthur C. Brooks, Strength to Strength. If you did not hear that podcast, I would direct you to it. And really what he basically talks about is, hey, we have this fluid intelligence when we're younger. And as we do, you know, live a little longer, it sort of turns into something else called crystallized intelligence. And so things that maybe were very easy or effortless for us when we're younger become harder, but then we have different strengths as we get older. And how do we keep finding kind of that purpose and that satisfaction? Because we cannot do the same things over and over, even though it's a tendency. I think it's really natural to be like, well, I'm good at that. People know that I do that. Or why all of a sudden is this new person in the office kind of the new superstar and I'm not, or the new athlete on the court? It's completely natural. So I have found that embracing that and keep focusing on like, what are my strengths? Who am I trying to be? How can I help someone else? I think that's really helpful. And Arthur C. Brooks talks a lot about that in Strength to Strength, which is also when we become of service, because we do have a certain amount of experience or what have you, there's something so deeply fulfilling. And even though we're, you know, it's like, you're not the, maybe you won't be like the rock star, whatever that means. The deep richness of helping someone else improve or being a part of something, I think culturally, like, we don't give it enough juice, but it's just, it's really powerful. And everyone gets their place in those moments. And how do we just keep moving and growing and sharing and supporting one another? And that's certainly one of them. And I joked with there's a very well-known makeup artist named Bobby Brown. And we were talking about, like, if you want to talk about aging, just straight up aging, it's like, hey, on those certain days, don't look so close to the mirror, because there's those days you're like, holy shit. And everybody experiences that. It's just really normal. And, you know, remember when we're teenagers, we're tortured for other reasons. We're so uncomfortable. And then we get, you know, maybe a sweet spot for a few years. And so if I could encourage you to, on those particular days, on that kind of superficial external, get a sense of humor and back away from the mirror. You know, have fun with it. Tell a friend. Don't make it a big deal, but just be like, yeah, whoa. The parenting front has been, it's always university, right? Being a parent, it's always really trying to be self-aware. I had an incident with one daughter, I won't say her name, Brody, and she's really tough on Laird. She's tough on him, and he probably harasses her, but he also really shows up for her. He, you know, he's there. He takes her every morning to school, and he is, you know, affectionate and just right there. And he says something interesting to me. He's like, you know, point to the pillars in the living room and be like, see that, like that post. Sometimes that's just my job, right? It's just to be there. But I was in the car with her, and he calls her to like say hi and see how she is. And she's really rude. And granted, you know, she's that age, whatever. And I was like, hey, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be around that. And what does that stem from? That stems from me thinking, oh, is this, if she talks to her dad like this, is this how she's going to be in relationships? And we always talk about baseline decency, right? Like, I don't care what you have going on, short of like the real stuff. No matter what mood we're in, I don't think it's our right and privilege to be able to take it out on any, you know, the people close to us. Now, granted, you hear that parents are safe. And so when people are teenagers, oftentimes they're the worst because we're not going anywhere. And that means, oh, it's some kind of badge of honor. Thank you very much that you're that safe person that won't split on them. So, you know, we've all kind of gone through those phases. But I just said to her, like, I don't want to hear that. Like, I know that's your dad, but that's also like, that's my partner. And he's not your welcome mat, right? And then she said something, and then I might have, I think I do this and I have to figure this out, is I'm super cool and then I'm not cool at all. And she'll try to give me some BS, like bullshit dialogue about, like, she said to me, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. And actually the last person that said that to me was Katie Couric in an interview. And, it's pro, right? Like, that's a pro move. I was like, man, pretty good. Like, I'm sorry you feel that way. It has no sense of accountability in it. I guess my point of sharing it with you is I did lose my cool on some level. I mean, I wasn't throwing things. I was driving the car. But I think I lean into it so much because it is ultimately stimulated by the concern that this is who she's going to be as a person. and not that it's a phase. And then she proceeded to tell me, which I think is pretty funny, that I handled it wrong and that I could have been so much more impactful if I had just said, hey, listen, it's not the way to do it. And da da da. I go, I think I've tried that method and now I'm trying something else. But it's the reminder, like if you're in those instances with a child or a young adult child or an adult child, try to remember back to what you were like. And I feel pretty confident in saying that probably most of us had versions of this and we probably make better decisions today. And that's what I'm reminded. I was talking to a friend of mine who has an adult child, a young adult child who went through a sobriety and had, you know, like an active recovery place for about 6 months. And he's going to do another 6 months. And this young adult child is a year younger than when my friend got sober. And my friend's thriving and killing it in his 50s, right? So I guess why I'm bringing this up is if you're going through something like that, is just to remember what you are going through and to just have that reminder like, oh, that's right. This too is part of it. And they have to go through it. And why would they figure it out sooner than we did? And it's hard to remember that. But it's just so true. Just have that faith. And, you know, listen, there wasn't an F-bomb that I occasionally didn't love here and there just to let the valve out. We can't be perfect. You know, it's been an interesting time. Also in my marriage, I will be in my 25th year of marriage soon, very soon, and 27 years in the relationship. And I do feel... I was joking with Larry the other day. I was like, oh no, are we here? Because have you ever heard the study that men don't hear as well, or they're desensitized to their partner's voice after a certain amount of years? And I swear to God, I feel like Laird is hearing like a third less of the things I say. You know, everything I say is so important. And I was joking, and one of our older daughters was here, and I was like, oh no, is this where we are in our relationship? Like you're not hearing me anymore. And I was joking, but I was also serious, because you also realize, how do you go through time with somebody? And yeah, of course you love them. You know, it's like the given thing, like, oh, I love them and I respect them and all these things. But are we able to look at each other as we are in this moment? Because I may be different than I was yesterday. And if you're not paying attention, or you're not giving me that chance to be who I am today, or if I'm doing that, let's say, then it's like you're missing, right? Like you're missing the opportunity for the growth and for like that rediscovery of like, oh, my partner, like they're still learning and expanding. And I don't know every story, or I haven't heard every single thought, but I can say that in the dance at the moment, in the last week or so, it's kind of been uncomfortable. And I'd imagine it's really natural. It's just something that forces you to go, huh, okay. Like where am I going from here? Because I'm only in charge of myself. And so I think that that has been really interesting. And also, I have a tendency to, I don't want to say very little, but I feel like I have strong opinions and I'm a pretty strong person, but I have a tendency sometimes to be more on the quiet side. And then recently we had a scenario where he was sharing something, and I felt that part of what he was sharing was actually inaccurate, and it felt like important information. And so I was like, well, actually, I think it was this. And it was interesting because he did not take kindly to that, because it was in front of two other people. And I wasn't combative or disrespectful in any way, but that within being agreeable and within wanting peace and within being more quiet in a certain way, I also realized that I feel like it's important to be in your own strength and your own voice and to be strong, even if it is quiet. And even if your partner is super energetic and boisterous and, you know, wonderful things. But it was kind of interesting, like what I will fold on, and then when I'm like, oh, so I just have to go along with everything. And I don't know that I think that. And I certainly believe in never embarrassing your partner, if especially, you know, in front of a group of people. That's not a good look. But certainly being able to have like some healthy debate or like an opinion, I think that would be okay. But yeah, it was just interesting. I think all relationships, friendships, love relationships, they have all these chapters. And I think we have to keep rolling up our sleeves and saying, all right, how do I participate? And what's my part in this? And what do I want to bring to the table? And what am I willing to kind of not worry about? Right? Because we can get fixated on all these things that they don't really matter. Especially, I feel like when you know your partner's heart, you know, sort of in the right place, that's pretty powerful to know that. Like that they have your best interest at heart, or they're really trying and they're showing up. I think that's a really powerful starting point. And the rest is like nuance and massage and like making yourself happy. But anyway, it's just been an interesting family time. I can imagine a lot of you are feeling that, because a lot of older children are moving home because the world is difficult and, you know, is it open? It's not fully open, or they can work from home, but like, you know, everything else is too expensive. So you've got older kids, or you've been kind of trapped. Did I say trapped? Okay. Sorry. You've been at home quarantined with your kids and your partners. And I think we make these romantic ideas about family, and then we're always surprised when it's not that. And I wonder where we get that from. I don't know if that's part of the whole Cinderella thing, but, you know, oh, my family. And you know, like, you ever go on a business trip and you miss everyone so much, and you get home and you just go, oh, yeah. So I have fun with that, because I do. I love my family and I'm so grateful for them. And I'm sure they feel the same exact way about me. But there are days where I'm like, huh, a one bedroom apartment and a dog? I don't know, maybe. But I'd be missing out. And all the real growth, the best growth, the things I don't want to look at about myself, there they are. So that's one of the great opportunities. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you haven't gone this route, props to you. You know, it's like there's a million ways to walk the journey and to make yourself to be in this life. And so I'm not suggesting it's the only way. In fact, we talk about it with my friends. You know, if you think having children makes you happier, that's not what it is. It's something else. And if anyone tries to sell people that narrative, I think it's unfair. So anyway, just putting that out there.
This podcast is brought to you by Ritual. I personally have been taking their multivitamin right when COVID started. I needed one and I learned all about Ritual, and I've been taking it ever since. And they know, listen, that women really do need to be a part of the scientific research. And they conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. And the results, it increased vitamin D levels by 43%. We all know the importance of vitamin D. And omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. So they are really very big, not only on the science, but making sure that the ingredients are traceable, clean, and in a bioavailable form, which means your body knows what to do with the actual nutrients once it gets it. And the way they did it is so simple. They took 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption. And it's really easy because it's gentle on an empty stomach. If you're rushing around, you can't be like, oh, I have to get my vitamins, but I need to eat first. It even has a nice little minty essence right at the end after you take it. So you don't have those weird, I call them vitamin burps. I'm not loving it. And Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp. And like I said earlier, everything is traceable. So no more funny business, nothing shady. Rituals Essential for Women 18 plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. You can get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/Gabby. That's ritual, ritual.com/Gabby. You can start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 plus to your subscription today at ritual.com/Gabby for 25% off.
I had a really interesting interview with Kent Steffes, and he has a new book out. But what was very interesting, and somebody put this on my posted this, I said a winning mindset. And someone said that that was fixed instead of, I believe it was a winning mind state. But my point is that Kent really talked about when he went to play volleyball, he was there to win and win only. And everything short of that was sort of an incomplete, a fail. And my experience playing sports was so very different. It was a place, it was something to be a part of. It was, I loved the hard work. I loved training. I loved kind of the silliness of being with the girls and the brutalness. And I respected myself. I felt good about myself training hard. And I loved having good coaches. There's nothing worse than having a bad coach. But when you get a good coach, it's hard to beat it. It's hard to beat having somebody who makes you better and who's willing, going back to the strength to strength, to mentor you and share ideas with you that help you in your own life. And most of it not on the court, right? So personal accountability, work ethic, discipline, dealing with fear, dealing with losing, handling winning gracefully, working on everything you're not good at, not sitting at practice and only doing the stuff you're great at. And so it was really an interesting conversation because we celebrate winners. We don't even, when you watch the Olympics, we don't even look at the person in second place, right? Like we only celebrate people who are number one. And he talks in depth about the real price for that. And I don't know, like when you hear, was it Natural Born Heroes? The book Natural Born Heroes is, that cooperation was a part of evolution. And I don't know if winning, obviously people competed for mates, right? Like males especially competed to have mates, but it wasn't about beating you for the sake of beating you. So there's an interesting thing where we celebrate winning so much, but it is a really unnatural part of our culture or our evolution. And so within it, it's just a kind of an interesting dynamic. One, if you're doing something yourself, so if you're participating, whether it's professionally or on a recreational level, maybe you compete in Spartan races or marathons or half marathons or tries, or you play basketball or soccer on the weekends or whatever your jam is, but that what is it that's being a part of that? Is it to challenge yourself? Is it to see if you can do it, to see if you're better, or is it really about winning? And Laird had a great quote, and it really says what's different about Laird and I. Laird said to me, creative people really get joy out of like the experience, and sort of more linear people get the joy out of beating others. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. Like, so for him, he wants to just go out and see the ocean and the color of the waves and the power and like the landscape and all the stuff. And when I played, I was like, what's at stake? And so I think we do that a lot in life. Even when we say to someone like, what job are you going to take? It's like, well, get the most money you can. And that winning, that price for that winning in the long run, it may not be worth it. And we do, we do have to grow up and we do have to provide and all these things. But if we get that space to ask ourselves, who are we? Who am I? And what's really going to make me feel good? And what really turns me on? Sometimes I think we'd arrive at a really different end game. And it's hard, especially as we're sort of in life, to ask those questions because we're sort of buried under responsibility. So I don't know, maybe if you know, if you're in a transition, this is the time to do it. If you have, you know, kids that are getting ready to go out there in the world, could you encourage them to sort of really quietly ask themselves that question? Because after listening to Ken, and this is a smart guy, I mean, he has analyzed it. It's like a CPA's approach to sport. You wonder, like, you've got the gold medal. And what did you give up for it? And was it worth it in the long run? And maybe the answer is yes. But it's just really important, depending on who you are, what you want to give up for that, quote, winning. So I really appreciated that conversation. We had jokes. Like, I was like, I don't know what game you played, but I was like, yay, it's fun, you know. And another thing that was really interesting is, you know, in these podcasts, like, you're going to talk to scientists or health experts, and, you know, most of them, and I do vet it, there's an alignment. And it's mostly because it's already confusing, and I'm trying to make this as easy as possible, you know, sort of taking care of yourself and make it achievable and not sort of one more, you know, confusing message. However, what happens is you go along and certain trends come out, like fasting, let's say, and all of a sudden you get these studies about what's great about fasting, but a lot of us don't realize, hey, listen, these studies are oftentimes done on men. And so they don't always reflect how it impacts women, and especially women that are performing. So basically what I mean is, if you're really having a heavy physical output, don't get me wrong. If you are running around and working and trying to manage a family, you're an athlete. I mean it. Like, that is the hardest stuff to, you know, keep yourself dialed together and find those pockets to take care of yourself. But this is also kind of implied for women who are really training very, very hard. Maybe you're doing lots of lifting or lots of miles or whatever, is that maybe fasting, with all its great benefits, is not for women per se. So I talked to Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. And the conversation, like, I'll just sort of shorten it. And even Dr. Sims is, here's the deal. If you're, let's say, more sedentary and you're using fasting to manage body composition. Don't you like how they say that? Body composition. It used to be weight. And I don't love scales, but you know what I mean. So, by the way, I weigh 182 right now. Doesn't that sound like a lot? Okay. So anyway, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, and she talks about the importance of protein, that in a nutshell, and I've done abbreviated podcasts on this with the exact information and the why, so you can listen to them. I think it's like 12 minutes long, is what protein, all of the things that protein supports, all of the systems in our body, you know, whether it's your brain, recovery, hormones, all of it. So 1 gram of protein for ideal body weight. So I mentioned I was 182. That's right, 182. I think I feel better at about 175 between you and me, or all of us and me. And so what does that mean? I will eat 175 grams of protein. And so it's really, you know, to get it in food is really hard. So I do take, you know, BCAAs or branched chain amino acids. It is not a waste of time and money, but typically you can get it in your food. And she says the first and last meal of the day is so imperative, 35 to 50, either 50 or 55 grams of protein. And so it will also keep like hunger at bay and a bunch of other things from happening. You know, you get to avoid an insulin spike and sort of some other things. So my point of this is that a lot of times we've talked about all these incredible benefits of fasting. And I want to say, I do agree with that. And especially if you do it right. And how hard is it really to get into autophagy? Very hard. I think it's like 36 hours. So intermittent fasting, yes. Digesting food, hard on you. Yes, that message has not changed. Snacking, not great, probably. However, how do we get that protein? And especially if you're female, because most of us are not getting enough. So I just wanted to clarify that, because again, my hope is that the show has some flexibility to it, but it doesn't feel inconsistent. And it doesn't feel like, well, last week you said this and now this week you're saying that, because I don't like that myself. So there's going to be constant things that are important: getting to bed on time, being hydrated, trying to stay mobile, you know, eating enough of the right types of calories, you know, things like omegas. So this isn't going to switch in the, you know, sort of in the health ethos, being connected, finding that community, contributing to the world that you live in. However, there might be some of these other conversations as we go deeper into them. It's like, wait a second, that study was really on the men or the boys, and maybe there's some caveats for women. So I just want to kind of identify that as something that has really kind of shown up for me. Something else that they keep showing up too is, you know, this whole idea about like, don't look where you don't want to go, right? We live in a really, I don't think most of us feel this way. There's a few that are very loud that create all this sort of separation and conflict. And I don't actually think that most of us feel that way. And I just like to reiterate that if it's possible and you found the value in it, if you could go out into your world, if each of us could go out into our world and be empathetic and loving and tolerant, but strong, you know, it's like this whole thing of there's so much complaining going on. And I'm more interested in like, what can we build? Because I really feel like when you're busy doing and building and being, you know, with people you love and trying to go for goals and dreams, you don't really have a lot of time to criticize other people or be upset or be frustrated about the way they want to live. And I sometimes feel that maybe people have too much time and they've been at home and they're on their phones quite a bit and they're frustrated and not feeling great. And then we all think that's how the world is now. And I just don't think it is. I think most of us are just really trying to do the best that we can, and we're flawed, and that we all have a lot of love in us, and we want to be loved. And so I just want to remind you, but within that, I mean the real strength too. I think at some point, some of it gets to be too much bullshit, and it's just being like, come on. Like, so whatever your truth is, that you'd be willing to take ownership of that. It seems to have gotten to be a scarier thing now. But I think it's important that we still can keep discussion open. And, you know, it's like healthy debate. And, you know, I don't have to agree with every single thing that one of my friends agrees with to love them and be friends with them. And I hope that we don't lose that. And it could just be temporary. I mean, it really could. I mean, right? Like if you ask half the world, they think it's just we're in transition to transhumanism. But I don't know. And we would be smarter, but I don't know if that means that it's better. But maybe that's it. Maybe we're in a really far out time and we're in a transition and we're getting to witness it. But it'll be interesting to see. Books I've been reading. I just finished, because I'm going to interview him, Matthias Desmond's The Psychology of Totalitarianism, and it was an interesting, very interesting read. Wait, I'm going to look up all the books that I've been reading to share. Very different. You know, I have an eclectic kind of, well, you know how it is. You got to try out all new things and keep your mind open. Let's see. I did read The War on the West, which I thought was really great. I reread, and you can laugh at me because you wouldn't expect this from me, Autobiography of a Yogi. Yes, that's true. And The Wisdom Codes. That was interesting. So I don't know if most of you feel this way, but sometimes this repetition that we're in, what I've been trying to do is open up to creativity within the repetition, because there's going to be certain things, like kids are going to school, now people are going to work. Dinner's going to be made. Like, there's just stuff that happens that it just mounts to repetitive. So one of the things I've been working on is being like more kind of optimistic about the possibilities of what's in front of me. And I'll say the word, will I say the word dream? Maybe. I had a friend that used to say, what else is possible? Because we get so locked and loaded, and then we get a little bit of life's experience. Maybe we've even had one or two or three successful careers. So we think we know something. And that really can limit us. And what I realize is I'm my own worst limitation, right? Like I put the ceiling on when I was joking about being a Capricorn, really stubborn and really grounded. That has a lot of perks, but it also can really hold you back because sometimes I feel like I don't expand even professionally as much as I could because I'm so focused on being grounded and practical. And having some whimsical ideas and some dreaming and for like shooting up the stars, if you will, there's something in that. And I don't believe that you have to just be in your 20s. I think wherever we are, if we still have these sort of notions within us, that why wouldn't we aspire to do them or share? And not everything is about dollars. Sometimes dollars reflects the size of an idea. But I also think people have been feeling so defeated that if we could generate some of that dreaming and openness to like, well, I've been this, what else can I be? And who else can I be? Or what other part of myself can I bring out to the surface? And I've probably been feeling this way for about maybe 6 months to a year. And I also think it's the kind of the place I am in my life. I think this is probably a natural place to be as your kids become more independent. And there's just been a little more kind of flow and more sort of opportunities that have come my way. And I liken that to me maybe getting out of my own way and not being afraid to do it different. So like maybe I'm going to be on the road 2 days a week, or maybe my training schedule is going to be different, or just whatever weird things I cling to as the thing that keeps me from doing something different. And I always admire people that can do that. The problem is like when we forego our whole real life for just dreams, I think there's a very steep penalty for that. And I think a level of consistency and participation in your real relationships and your self-care is sort of imperative for really making gains, if you will. But within that, it's like, how do we not lock in so hard that we don't see what's around the corner or something new or something different? And that is uncomfortable, I know. Believe me. But that's something that I just want to share because I'm certain it's not unique to me. And I'm certain that you might have that going on in your mind, in your life. Listen, life is short. Everyone says it, but I would like to start living more and more like it is. And I know this to be true. We've all been losing people and since, you know, the beginning of time, and maybe it feels accelerated now. And so why not? Why be managed by our fears or our sort of tendencies towards really radical routine? It's like we don't like the routine and monotony, but somehow we can't find the way to get out of it. And that's kind of interesting. And how are we in it enough that we can see real progress, but yet bring some more color and some dynamic? I'll close on this. I think it's really an interesting thing when you have, like, I always say, like, I can go behind, I can go on the side, I can go in the front. And so sometimes, like, I'm behind my children, sometimes I'm on the side of my partner. And sometimes, indirectly, it's like I almost leave them all behind and I'm in front. And that can be a very personal or private experience. It was sort of like who you were before, you know, you were with all these people. And I think when we get good at that, like, hey, I'll support you. It's about you. I'm behind you. Hey, I'm next to you. Or even with Laird, I could be behind Laird, no problem. And trying to elevate his cause and purpose, but still being willing from time to time to step in front and ask myself, well, what are your skill sets? And how do you want to present those? And not always kind of defaulting to the other roles. It becomes very natural to do. I think it is more common with females than males. I know, I don't mean to, you know, everybody wants us all to be the same, but I don't think we are. And doesn't mean there aren't exceptions, but it just seems if you look around to be a pattern. So don't be afraid to stand behind, but don't be afraid to stand in front either from time to time. I think it's good. I think it's healthy. And I think it's good, weirdly, and I say this like very directly, for the people in your life to sometimes view you differently and kind of have a different appreciation for you. I think it's really good. If anything comes to mind that has improved your toolkit, if you will, for parenting or training or something in your work or going for your, you know, an entrepreneur or you're in a transition or your relationship, I would love to hear it. And the other thing I would love is if you have any questions for me, if you would leave them for me so I can incorporate them or address them in future shows, that really helps me out because then I can be more of service. I always appreciate you guys hanging out with me on these solos. And I think it's important that if you have feel like you've been around the block, that we're reminded that wonder and possibility and hope is something that we should never let go of or lose. And it gets very easy to get covered up. You know, let's face it, folding laundry. It's not the sexiest thing. So, and aside from that is, can you keep parts of your world in a sense of wonder? All right, till next time.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you want to learn more, there is a ton of valuable information on my website. Head to the link in the show notes and click GabbyReese.com to find a full breakdown with helpful links to studies, research, books, products, and more. Stay tuned for a bonus episode coming this Thursday where I go deeper on one of the topics that really resonated with me. If you have any questions for my guests or even myself, please send them to @GabbyReese on Instagram. If you feel inspired, please hit the follow button, leave a rating and a comment. It not only helps me, it really helps the show grow and reach new listeners.